Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Good and welcome to the movie review. And for the next hour, I'm going to be your host as we go through what is on at the local cinema multiplexes. Or what? So what do you actually call them when it's not a multiplex, when you only have like one screen?
I just guess you just call it a cinema.
Yeah. Cinema.
A movie house, a picture house. Yeah. I don't know. It's probably whatever you want to call it, really.
Whatever it's named, like
that
the Odeon.
That would be so cool. What, if you owned a cinema and just one
I've
cinema.
Always thought that'd be a great thing to do. Actually, do you remember Lake Cinema?
Lake, yeah, I remember Lake.
That was so nice, wasn't it? It's just one single screen closing. It was a little tiny place.
Yep.
And they used to do a puppet show during the interval.
I have heard of this legendary puppet show.
Yeah, and it was just such fun.
Yeah. It is, yeah. But what would you call it? There's a good one to think on.
Okay, I'm going to think about that throughout the show and see if I can come up with something before the end of the show. Now, yeah. You have heard them already, and these are my usual co-hosts, my usual sort of like partners in crime when it comes to film reviews. We have Sharon.
Hello.
And Sean.
Hiya.
Yes, and we are going to be talking about films that we have seen this week and whether we recommend that you go see them or not. And also joining us today is going to be Pete.
Come on, Pete.
Hello.
Yeah. And Pete is going to be talking us through films that are coming up in 2018, films that he's looking forward to. And then we're just going to have a little bit of a natter about it, and hopefully a bit of a fight over whether we think films are going to be good or not. Because let's be honest, it's boring when you listen to this thing, and we always agree. It's always it's one of those weird things I said that there's sometimes when you just prefer talking about a film you really didn't like.
They're more fun, aren't they? Really, or when we get a disagreement, when we don't agree.
Yeah,
that's quite cool.
Yeah, yeah. I think War of the Planet of the Apes was a good one.
Yeah,
that was a good one. I think hearing you guys talk about Geostorm, which I did not get to see last year, and quite frankly, after hearing you guys talk about it, I don't feel as if I missed anything.
You didn't.
I think I missed out on the vitriol, and I missed out on the release of having a film that you can just wail on. I just sort of like unload on and everything.
That's it. It's so you can put so much expression into something you don't like.
There's some things you think, I'm glad I have a Cineworld card for this, and I didn't have to pay. I'd be just so cross.
Can I ask you one more question? Have you ever walked out of a cinema and not seen the end of the film?
No,
I've never done that. My thinking has always been, if I've paid, I am staying all the way to the end.
Sure.
The only time that I was really, really tempted and I really wanted to leave, and the only thing that kept me in the cinema was morbid curiosity because I wanted to know how this thing was going to end, was Eyes Wide Shut. Eyes Wide Shut. If you've seen the film, there is a whole sequence in the middle of the film that the film's kind of built around. And when that was going on, I was just kind of like, what the heck? I think Kubrick lost it towards the end. I was watching it. I really think, because I'm not somebody who's ever sort of like held to the whole, oh, Kubrick is a genius, all that kind of stuff. I've been told over and over and over again that he's a genius. I've never discovered that for myself. So Eyes Wide Shut, it was his final film, was this big thing. I remember watching it going, seriously, what the heck? And I was just sort of like so fed up. I was about to walk out, but I just thought, no, I've paid my money. I'm gonna stay and find how this thing ended.
I've never had, but I have a friend who is quite a walker outer. If she doesn't, if anything offends her, she's out. I have been with her before, and she's up and left, and I never know whether to follow her or just wait. And I tend to just leave her and say, "Oh, I'll catch up later."
Yeah. Well, I remember one time I took a girl to the cinema, and she walked out. She said, "Oh, I'm not watching this," and she walked out. And I was thinking, "Do I stay and watch the film? Do I go after her? What do I do? What do I do?"
What was going on screen?
Oh, it was nothing really. It was just sort of an animal thing. There's a film called The Thin Red Line. You know,
the Thin Red Line
at the beginning.
Oh,
with the bird.
Oh, like cruelty to animals and stuff like
that. She just thought, she says, "Oh, I'm not watching this." I mean, it was very early on in the film.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
seriously.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Did you pay or did she pay?
No, I paid.
Okay, good. That's why. That's why.
Good point.
I don't think I could walk out of something. I just don't think I could walk out of a film.
No.
I think I can stop watching a film halfway through at home. But I've paid and I've gone to the cinema, then I'm there till the bitter end I'm getting my money's worth, either of enjoyment or of pain. Either way, I'm getting my money's worth.
Films where I'm thinking, what was that? And this was not what I was expecting. Sometimes the content can be a bit more graphic than you're expecting, or the tone is just not very nice.
Yep.
And you're thinking, oh, but I tend to stay.
All right.
Watch it to the bitter end.
You're a stalwart.
Yeah, but no, I've been with my friend when she's up and gone.
Yeah.
Okay, Pete, how about you? You ever walked out of a cinema?
Never, ever walked out of the cinema. Obviously at home,
you can just switch it off. Yeah. If it's not very good or you think, oh, I'm just not getting into it, you can switch it off, maybe come back to it a few hours later next day. But the cinema, you got to stick with it. You can't just walk out. You got to stick with it. So, but then, like you were saying, it's like my unlimited card gets absolutely hammered these days. And it would be like there would be so many films that I would never have seen if I didn't have an unlimited card.
Exactly.
Which is great, because there's a few that you'll go and see and think, hey, actually, that was really, really good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And you might not have bothered going to see it unless you had that unlimited card.
No, I'm the same.
Very true.
Yeah,
very
you
true.
Make sure you go and see some, so even though you're thinking, not sure about that one, but I'll go.
I've seen some real beauts. I have, really, yeah, some real, real great movies. And because they come and go, they're like really quick, or where they're on at ridiculous times, you know.
Yeah, I think
my favourite was 71.
So, 71. I think my favorite that I went that where it was like, oh, unlimited card, but I might not have seen was a film called Tracks.
Tracks.
Yeah.
That was a running.
No, that was Race.
That was Race. Oh, that's confused.
No, Tracks was the one about a lady who was walking from one end of Australia to the other with a whole bunch of, with like three camels.
Oh, wow. I know the one you mean.
Yeah, based on a true, starring Mia Wasikowska.
Ah.
One of those actresses
you pronounce that really well there.
Yeah, Mia Wasikowska. Yes, you see, I've been practicing that name. It's like Wasikowska. Or maybe even Wasikowska, maybe, if you wanted to give it the original Polish pronunciation. But never mind, enough about me. So let's carry on to the films that we're going to talk about this week. So the we've got two films up, and I think we're going to start off with a film that pretty much everybody in the room has seen. And I think this is Hostiles. I'm right in saying that everybody has seen it, right?
Yeah, sure.
Everybody has seen Hostiles. So just to give you an idea of what Hostiles is all about, here is the trailer.
Captain in the Army wants to be certain that Chief Yellow Hawk is home to Montana. Put him in chains. Understand this. When we lay our heads down out here, we're all prisoners.
Hostiles. In cinemas January 5th.
Yes, this is Hostiles. This is it's pretty much a Western starring Rosamund Pike. And I think about the setting, Sean, you are a Western guy.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Yeah, you can probably tell us a little bit more about the setting and about the build-up of this film. Like, when is it set? What's going on? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's set towards the end, the Indian Wars are sort of coming to an end.
Yep.
And basically, Christian Bale's like an Indian fighter, hates Indians, always hated them. And he's been given this mission that he's got to take this Northern Cheyenne Indian chief and his family back to Wyoming. And of course he doesn't want to do it, but because he's a soldier and he's been given an order, he's going to do it. So it's basically a trek from New Mexico all the way up to Wyoming, and the scenery is absolutely fabulous. So
yeah,
we go through all these states, you know.
Yep.
So yeah, basically it's just a trek, and I wouldn't call this a revisionist Western any way, shape or form.
No.
It's just purely a Western that says, yeah, we did bad things.
Yes.
And we did bad things. And at the end, there's a little bit of redemption. But I was slightly let down. I thought it was a bit cliché at the end.
Okay, now, this is the thing. This might be one of those things where we have a little bit of a disagreement. But the thing is, I have to agree with you. I think towards the end, and this is something that I think I complained about it with Molly's Game. I complained about it with that... There's this thing that seems to be developing where towards the end of a film, you just have this thing where the music just starts building and building and building. And you're like, okay, end it. No, it's still going. No, it's still going. Oh, no. And as the longer that ending bit goes on, the more it kind of like ruins what just came before. And I agree with you with the ending of Hostiles. I kind of like felt like, okay, they might be making a point here. And oh, no, what are you doing? No, don't you dare. Oh my God, they're doing that. And I did feel a little bit like that, but Sharon, you.
Well, no, I liked the ending because to me, the film was like the Odyssey.
Oh yeah?
You had like your Odysseus character, which was like Christian Bale.
Yep.
And each of the hostiles he meets are either like the Comanche, and you got like the fur, the trappers.
Yeah, fur trappers.
They sort of represent like one of the encounters that Odysseus has on his journey back.
Okay.
And I imagined like Rosamund's character is like a Penelope. She had her own challenges and her own events to go through. And the young Indian boy was Telemachus. So I thought it was quite, and he had obviously his battles that he fought while his father was away.
Yeah.
So to me, the ending was fitting because you had Odysseus, Penelope and Telemachus at the end.
Okay,
so
okay.
If you okay. use it as like a parallel to the Odyssey, to me it worked.
Oh, all right, okay, maybe. and I'm only saying maybe because I do not know the story of Odysseus that well. but I
can see the point, yeah.
Well, I could kind of see that, but I think that the way in which it was done was a little... Yeah. It felt... The ending felt a little bit schmaltzy because this film is brutal.
Oh, it's savage.
This film is brutal. Yeah. Right from the word go, it doesn't make any... It makes no bones about it. It starts with something that looks like, you know, a little house on a prairie type happy scene. And then it just... It's like someone just takes... Oh, Little House on the Prairie, and then brings Tarantino in, and they just sort of like destroy this scene.
Yeah, the little girl running down the hill, and she falls over. She's been shot with an arrow.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, and you have, and so it's quite a brutal, unforgiving film from the get go. It, and I think when you said about it not being a revisionist Western, I do feel like it's very straight down the line,
yeah,
and it's in
exactly.
the kind of Western it is. You could imagine this being a John Wayne movie. And like it's just like we're trying to get from here to here as we go along. The
you
hostiles,
just everything in your way.
The name of the film Hostiles. Like, it could be any everything. It could be the Christian Christian Bale character.
Yeah,
it could be every single. And it's, it just shows this is an unforgiving landscape where there's just all of misunderstanding between every single person who's there, and everybody is just out to get everybody else. And that's, and it's just about them trying to get from one place to another with all these different things trying to get them. Because I remember when I saw the film and the first couple of shots when they showed the scenery, I was like, Sean's gonna love this.
Yeah,
Sean is going to love this.
It was funny you should say John Wayne. Just a little anecdote here. I actually saw this on the mainland. I watched it on Friday, and it was a late showing, so it was like a 10:30 at night showing.
Yeah.
And I went there, and it was just such a good experience because there was all movie music before the film actually started.
Oh, yeah?
And then these four lads come in, sat at the back, maybe 18, 19, I don't know. And I thought, oh, no, I hope they've not just come in for the thing. And I spoke to them, I said, hello, lads, do you like Westerns then? And one of them said, yeah, I watch all the John Wayne Westerns with my dad. So it was really good. So we had a little chat before the movie. And so, yeah, I was really pleased. That was just the... A little, so I really enjoyed that. But back to the scenery. Scenery was absolutely fabulous. Really.
Yes,
I mean it just filled the whole screen.
It really, really did.
And the Comanches and I mean Northern Cheyenne Comanches were probably the most cruelest of the Indians. I mean I'm really into the Indians. The Comanches were known as the cruelest. I mean, and they didn't like any other Indians. They were constantly at war with the Apaches, and they of course
down on that southern border. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. So. And Wes Studi,
yes.
He must have been, what's he been, a Huron in Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah.
He's been a Pawnee in Dances with Wolves.
He was Sagat in the Street Fighter movie.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So, yeah,
and I don't know what his heritage is.
Geronimo, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He played Geronimo
in
the
Gene Hackman movie,
which is his Apache.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the thing is, obviously because with... And one of the things that I like, because obviously I come from a country that was colonized. Mm-hmm. I come from a country that was colonized by the English and everything. So whenever you have any of these sort of stories, I mean, I remember growing up, and because this film, I feel like if it was made in the 70s, it would have been like a straight cowboys and Indians thing. It would have been like, you know, we the white settlers, we are the good guys, and we have all these horrible people trying to stop us from getting from where we're trying to get to. A little bit like Stagecoach. For something like that.
Yeah.
With the Indian Stagecoach. Yeah, I think not the 70s, maybe a bit before that, because the 70s.
Oh, yeah, that was,
70s,
yeah.
You had like Soldier Blue.
They started to change.
Oh, yeah, and Hosanna's Raid and stuff like
that. Hosanna's Raid, yeah. Soldier Blue. You know, there's...
Maybe the 50s.
Before, yeah, 50s.
50s, I think.
Okay, maybe the 50s.
Definitely.
And I feel like it could be the same storyline. But for me, one of the things I really, really liked was the fact that in this film, they showed the effects that being in this fight had on the soldiers. I think Christian Bale is brilliant in this film.
There was one bit that actually nearly brought me to tears. There's one bit of like repressed emotions. Shall I just say that bit where? There's one scene where he's sort of obviously reflecting about things.
Yeah, yeah.
Towards the end, and you can actually see, and it's that. Am I going to break down? No, I've got to hold it together. Am I going to break down now? And that was so powerful. Yeah. That was absolutely brilliantly done.
Yeah, I loved Christian Bale, and I thought Rosamund Pike was brilliant. I think that the way they handled the characters, the fact that when you first meet Christian Bale, you feel like he's just this hardened soldier. Mm. But then the fact that they do a very, very good job of showing that these are people who are just in a situation,
yeah.
In a situation where it was kind of like, God knows how it started, but it was kill or be killed. And it was like, and you had this different, and I love the way that they show both sides. They show the sort of Native American side, and then they show the sort of settler European descent, settler with European descent side. And you show like the two of them, and it was kind of like showing, it comes to this thing where it's a really, really dumb thing when you say it. It's like, you know what? We're all people. Yeah. But I think that the film does it in such a great way. But I mean, the first scene where Christian Bale comes across Rosamund Pike, I think that just kind of, because it just showed me this is a human, is a human character. And the way he handles that scene and the way he goes about it, I think is brilliant. And I think I have to say MVP for me, Rory Cochrane, who plays like the Christian Bale character. He played the Christian Bale.
His friend, like his sidekick,
who is just, he is wary. He is like, this war has taken him out of me.
It's
like everybody, he's the kind of person people look at and go, oh, hero. And he's like, no, I've had enough. And there's a scene where he goes and he offers, like, because where Studi plays Chief Yellowhawk, and he goes and he offers Chief Yellowhawk a tobacco, and just kind of like, this is a man who has had enough. He's had enough.
Worn out, yeah.
He's worn out, and he's beginning to think, I'm not sure I was on the right side.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not sure I was on the right side of all this.
I really thought that character was interesting as well, because at one point he talks about, you know, how did he get into this? And it was like, you know, well, you know, I was, you know, thrust into this when I was like, well, 14, when he was wearing the grey.
Yeah.
And you think, this is someone who obviously since the Civil War in the 1860s, and this is like the 1890s,
yeah.
You think, this is like 30 years he's been... He went from the Civil War straight into the Indian Wars, and then which dragged out for decades.
Yeah.
And you think he's just weary of fighting.
Yes.
And I just thought, in just a couple of sentences, he conveyed, you know, 30 years of weariness. I was just surprised in a good way by this film throughout. I mean, you expect it to go, because I've seen so many Westerns like Shawnee. And at the beginning, when it had like the Comanche, I was thinking, okay, they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
They're the good guys, and it's going to be this sort of cat and mouse, I thought, throughout the whole film. And then that sort of episode with the Comanche was sort of resolved really quite quickly. And I was like, oh, what's going to happen now? And it was just these sort of vignettes, wasn't it? You get these...
Yes.
They sort of like almost like typified a sort of a trope from like the Western, didn't they? Each group they met.
Yeah,
and that scene we had a conversation about with the mountain men.
Yes.
With the mountain men. That was
really, they're like symbolic of another sort of that, body of people.
But it was
people.
Really well handled that as
absolutely.
Well, wasn't it?
Absolutely. You don't see anything, but you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
you don't need to be told what went on, because you just know.
I think this is a brutal, beautiful film.
Yes.
I think it's a brutal, beautiful film that I feel is let down a little by the end.
Yeah. I have to say that.
Yeah, I have to say that as well. Sharon, I understand what you're saying, and maybe if I'd read more of Greek, like, you know, like
literature
mythology, maybe I would see that as well. But for me, I thought, no. at the end. So I would give it like, it's for me, it's a very, very high 3.
I'd go with four.
I would have to say 4.
Yeah.
Just purely for the performance.
The scope.
The performance is, I mean, good Lord, Rosamund Pike. Such strength and vulnerability. Oh, good Lord. Anyway, I think that woman, I was watching this thing thinking, you know, she has probably got to be the person who is the most successful at throwing off the mantle of a Bond girl.
Yeah.
Because she has...
You forget that she was a Bond girl, don't you?
You totally forget it. Okay, Pete, we've left you out of this for a while. Just want to say a couple... So you saw Hostiles last night.
Yeah, watched it last night. And I agree with pretty much everyone saying. It was a very brutal film. I kind of like brutal films, to be honest with you. I'm a big horror fan. But it grew on me. About half hour in, I'm thinking, it seems a bit generic, not sure where this is going. But as it went further and further, it pulled me in and it grew on me. Albeit, I agree with Tosin, the ending felt a little bit like it was tacked on. Like they wanted like a lift at the end, rather than like the downer that it could have been and perhaps should have been, because at that time it's a horrible place to live.
Convenient, I call it. Convenient.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I would go with Tosin. It was a strong three.
All right, cool. All right, we're going to have some ad breaks and we're going to come back quickly, talk a little bit about all the money in the world.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. marketing@vectisradio.fm.
Welcome back to the Movie Review Show. We are, and without further ado, we're just going to go into the next film, which is All the Money in the World. Here is the trailer.
J. Paul Getty wasn't just the richest man in the world. He was the richest man in the history of the world.
Mr. Getty, your grandson's been kidnapped.
$17 million to release him.
I don't have any money.
On December 22nd.
How much would you pay to release your grandson?
Nothing.
From director Ridley Scott.
I'm fighting an empire.
Inspired by true events.
He's my son, and I'll stop at nothing to bring him home.
All the money in the world. Rated R.
Yes, that is All the Money in the World, the Ridley Scott movie about the kidnap of John Paul Getty III, who is the grandson of John Paul Getty, who was at that time the richest man in the world. One of the richest men who's ever lived, has a legacy that continues. If you ever go to LA, you see the Getty Museum, which is filled with a lot of stuff from his personal art collection that he'd collected over a while. And this is essentially you can Wikipedia this. You can Wikipedia this and you can find out exactly what happened and all that. And this is really Scott's take on his grandson getting kidnapped in Rome in the 70s. I can't remember what year was this, 78 or something like that?
73.
Early in the 70s.
Early 73, I think.
I remember the fallout later on.
I was thinking about how old I was. And I thought, right, okay. That's probably why I don't quite remember it.
Because I knew the story, but I wasn't around at the time to be like, you know, to follow it on the news. But I was aware, obviously, what happened to John Paul Getty III. Yeah.
So with that, it's kind of like, it's pretty much, obviously they have to keep to true events, or mostly to true events.
Some of them are so well known, they couldn't not, you know,
You couldn't,
could they, really?
Yeah, you could. Although what this film is probably best known for, hit the headlines for, was the fact that the film was finished. So the film has just been released, and the film was finished, and about a month ago, all these allegations against Kevin Spacey came out, and Kevin Spacey was originally cast in this film as John Paul Getty, and when all the allegations came out, Ridley Scott quickly looked and went, "This guy is now box office poison." If we leave him in the film as the film is, it's going to sink the film. So in a month, he called everybody back, recast the role with Christopher Plummer, refilmed all the Kevin Spacey scenes with Christopher Plummer, and then he actually put the film together again and released, which is really, really impressive.
Do you think so?
Well, I think it's really impressive from a technical point of view.
From a technical point of view.
I'm not getting into the moral side of things because that is murky. Yeah.
Not so much the moral side of thing. I just think it was, I mean, did he do the editing on this? Who does the editing on Ridley Scott films anyway? Because they must have, like, pieced it all together.
Yeah, he hasn't edited. Yeah, he hasn't edited all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think there were some bits where I was looking at it and I was actually going, is that a green screen? Did they just plonk Christopher Plummer's head on Kevin Spacey's body, and the bits were tried to, but I actually think, generally speaking, they've done a really, really good job. Unless I'd been told that all those scenes were filmed and dropped into this film, I wouldn't have known.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you think you would have?
I thought, I mean, to me, it was just, this film was just a mishmash of things chopped together, it chopped and changed everywhere, and I'd borrowed so much from Citizen Kane that it just really, really annoyed me.
Well, but the thing is, okay, because, talking about the character of John Paul Getty, because this is a man who famously, when told his grandchild had been kidnapped, started negotiating the ransom, and he refused to pay the ransom, and he was like, I have never seen Citizen Kane.
Right, okay.
I've never seen, but I thought the whole idea that they had in this film, they do a little bit of examining what on earth having all that much money does to somebody, or how on earth did he get all that much money, and what kind of psyche, the kind of psyche that gets you to be the richest man in the world, what does it do when somebody tries to take some of that money from you? And I thought I think Christopher Plummer is really good in this. I think he's good in showing that he's, that it's a human being, and I can see the character as a human being as opposed to some sort of monster, which this could so easily have been made into. It could have been easily made into, this is just a monster who hated his child and it's his blood, for goodness sake, and he wouldn't give anything for it. But I think that they did enough to show, you know, this is a man who has a very particular worldview. He goes about things in a certain way, and that's why he reacts in the way he does. And for me, the bits where they're sort of examining why this character would not just give the money, even though it didn't mean anything to him, even though the money was not that much to him, why he wouldn't just give the money, there were some bits where I was like, it's distasteful, but I kind of see his point.
I think it's that whole attitude of, you know, my grandson is not currency, I'm not going to buy and make the children of other rich people suddenly a commodity to be kidnapped and then
there's a bit of that, but
it's not actually that. I know that's what you'd think, but it's not actually. I mean, I see the point you're making, Tony, and I can see that, especially towards with, you know, why he's doing what he's doing, and I can see that. I disagree with you on the fact that I don't think it was particularly well acted myself, really? From a personal point of view. I mean, I can understand why people would, but he didn't really convince me. He didn't really convince me of what particularly? Just as a character, he just didn't convince me. He was very one-dimensional, I thought, and very just, you know, but he kept the same expressions. There wasn't a lot of expressions, and maybe that's because of the character he was, and perhaps he was meant to be played that way. But he didn't convince me as being a rich guy, should we say. The richest man in the world.
this is the funny thing. Okay, and we've got to move on. So we're going to get to the point. We've got to move on. But that is, and he, because that's the thing. He was the richest guy in the world. But what I thought was funny, it was exactly what you just said, that he didn't seem like the richest guy in the world. He seemed like a guy who was scrounging for a buck. He really, like, this character comes across.
Wasn't he famously frugal, though? Isn't that what he was?
Yeah, you had a feeling of a guy who was scared that any moment this could all disappear. It didn't matter how much money he had. He was scared that at any moment this can all just go. It can all just go in a flash. And that's why, like, there's a scene where he has with Mark Wahlberg, and people have complained that Mark Wahlberg is really, really plain in this film. But I think the character is supposed to be plain, that Mark Wahlberg's plain. And it's He asked him, he's like, for goodness sake, you have all this money. How much money is going to be enough? And he just goes, more.
And I
really feel like...
How much do you need?
How much do you need? He's like, more. And I really feel like that tells you about the state of his mind. I quite like the film. I think that there are some bits where I'm watching and I'm going, okay, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. That's just been tacked on to give it like an exciting end, or to give it like a little bit of like a chase thing or anything like that. And there's bits of it that I think that I feel obviously tacked on. Yeah.
Shall I just say referring back to Citizen Kane, scene with the painting that he's bought.
That's just like,
I don't know if it's supposed to be a homage, but it certainly isn't.
Well, I haven't seen Citizen Kane, but I didn't like that scene.
You didn't like that scene either.
I kind of thought, what the heck? That scene particularly felt like it came out of nowhere. It felt like it came out of absolutely nowhere, and from a storytelling historical point of view, it made no sense.
No sense.
I think I would still give this a 4 out of 5. I'm sure you're going to go. Yeah,
yeah, I'm going to go 2.
Yeah, you're going to go 2. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I think it's a good film.
Okay.
But now we're going to carry on to our preview of 2018, and this is what Pete, you have been sitting here waiting so patiently for, and you're going to give us a run through of films that are coming out in 2018 that you are looking forward to, and we are going to have a little bit of a discussion as to what we think. So Pete, take it away.
Yeah, so a little bit of disclaimer up front. Obviously, these are the films that I'm looking forward to. It's kind of like there's going to be, obviously, we were talking about earlier before the show. It's like there's going to be loads of films out this year, obviously. There's going to be some that are going to be really great, some that were great that should have been bad, some that were bad that should have been great. But these are the ones I'm looking forward to. We're going to do the first sort of 6 months, January through to June. So starting with this month, we got The Post, When all I've got to mention is three names: Spielberg, Hanks, Streep.
I tell you what, I'm really, really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
This is from the trailers. I got when I went to watch All the Money in the World. That was one of the trailers. Again, you know, I'd seen it before, and I was like, and I'm really up for this movie. I think this is going to be a great movie.
Yeah, you know, with when you put those three names in the same film, you know, it's going to be a quality.
I was a bit more like, because I was thinking, haven't we done that with Spotlight? I mean, they've done the whole newspaper as the good guys, the journalist as the sort of the tension in uncovering the story. So to me, I was a bit like, yeah, I can see that there's class there, but I don't know whether that's enough to draw me in.
Well, I agree with you on that. I think with this, I thought, okay, there's class there. I mean, Streep and Hanks. Streep, those are two people who I would watch anytime. I think Steven Spielberg, especially when you know that he knocked out this film in a break from making Ready Player One, and then he came in and he just made the post quickly. I feel like it might be a straightforward story. I feel like it's going to be a straightforward story. I'm not sure how much flair this is going to be made with.
Did you enjoy Spotlight?
I really liked Spotlight.
I thought that was a great film.
Yeah.
Well, if you like Spotlight,
hopefully we'll see. What I really want to do is I've never seen All the President's Men, and I want to do a double bill with the post of All the President's Men,
because
it's the same newspaper
cool.
and the same editor in both of them. So yeah,
no, Spielberg will have to go some then to top All the President's Men, because that's a cracking film. That's an absolute great film. So we'll knock on till February, because I think we've talked about some of the films that are coming out in January, like Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did.
Great film. Go and see that. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, terrific movie.
So we run into February. February, obviously, is always a month where you get some really, really great films coming out. So we've got Phantom Thread, which is a Paul Thomas Anderson film, which is actually going to be probably more famous for the fact that it's going to be Daniel Day-Lewis's last ever film role. You know, we all know Daniel Day-Lewis from Last of the Mohicans, Gangs of New York, a phenomenal, phenomenal actor.
Pretty much he shows up, he gets an Oscar.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Well,
just like
a
shoo-in.
He's a class act.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm excited to see that. And it'll be sad to see him go, because, you know, such a great actor. We've also then got Cloverfield movie.
Now, what, remake?
No, it's another film that's just coming out.
Because we had 10 Cloverfield Lane, didn't we, last year?
Which I thoroughly enjoyed, which come out of the blue. Obviously, the original Cloverfield as well, about the giant monster.
See, that's one of my hate. I don't like shaky cam. Can't do shaky cam.
It works better at home. It actually worked a lot better at home. I was the same as you when I went and watched that at the cinema. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can deal with this. Went back, watched it at home a few months later, and actually thoroughly enjoyed it more at home than I did at the cinema. So this one's set in space. That's all I know.
Oh, okay.
You know, so let's see.
It's like a typical J.J. Abrams thing. He's just not telling you anything
about it.
He's just like, yeah, I just got to go watch it. Thing is, I think the Cloverfield franchise, universe, whatever you want to call it, I think it's clever. I actually thought the first one was a clever take on the found footage thing. I thought it was pretty much like Godzilla, but told from the point of view of one camera. So I have some time for this. I have some time for the clue. I want to see what they do next.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Did you like 10 Cloverfield Lane, Dave?
10 Cloverfield Lane, I thought it was a good film. It was the Cloverfield aspect felt tacked on.
It could have been a standalone
first three quarters of the film.
Really.
And then you find out later that the Cloverfield aspect was tacked on. Because the film was made, and then J.J. Abrams went, you know what, this could really kind of work. And it was, I think originally the film was called The Bunker, and then they changed it and they went to... But yeah, so I quite liked it. I thought John Goodman was excellent in it, but I'm interested to see what comes up with this one.
Sure.
Yeah, so also in February got the first of eight Marvel-themed movies coming out, and it's Black Panther. Now, again, I wasn't that fussed about it until I saw the trailer. I thought it was a top-notch, first-rate trailer that they brought out. That's actually got me really excited about seeing this film.
I think that had the most hits on YouTube, the trailer ever in the history of YouTube.
Are you thinking... I think you're thinking of Avengers.
Oh,
Infinity
I might be thinking
War.
Of Avengers,
Infinity,
yeah.
Well, yeah, this is Black Panther.
Black Panther we're talking
both
about.
Both set in the same country, but...
both Avengers movies, really, by the look of it, from the trailer, because you got the... stock heroes,
obviously this is going to be the big thing about this is nowadays that we are hearing a lot about diversity and all that kind of stuff. Last year you had Wonder Woman that came out, was the first female-led superhero movie that had been released in cinemas in like God knows how long. And this is going to be like the first sort of, not just first black-led superhero movie, or the first, because I mean people are saying that, but I'm like, hey, what about Blade? But it's kind of like
Blade, yeah,
but it's got like, it's got mostly a black cast, but I think it's more the fact that it's supposed to be an African story,
right?
And it's going to be the Marvel's universe has dabbled in Africa before, and obviously this is like a big bugbear for me. Like when we saw Civil War, I went on a whole rant about how what wasn't right when they went to Lagos and how they kept pronouncing the name wrong and all that kind of stuff.
And but you did like the bus.
I think that they did some work. They did some work to get it right. They did some work to get it right. And I know that they're doing a lot of work to get this thing right. I have my personal issues as to how many of the people in the film are actually African. But right. But besides that, and also the treatment of like, oh, it's an African story. Like Africa is just one homogeneous thing, and therefore we should have one African story and everyone should be happy. But besides that, the film looks awesome.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. Right, and then we got The Shape of Water. I'm looking forward to it.
Everybody's looking
forward to
that.
I'm a huge fan of Guillermo del Toro. Obviously, Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy, Pacific Rim. And this looks like a fantastic movie. Got great cast. Sally Hawkins, who's been nominated everywhere. Octavia Spencer, quality actor. Michael Shannon, I love Michael Shannon. He's such a great actor. Should be in more stuff.
Richard Jenkins,
yeah. Oh, one of my namesakes. Not related, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it looks quality. It looks really class.
I'm really looking forward to that.
That should be great.
I think that should be... good.
What I love about this film is that I didn't know much about it, and it seemed to come out of nowhere, and it was just, and everything about it just looks atmospheric. It looks like Guillermo del Toro is going to do his own thing as he always does, and I love watching him do his own thing because it's, you usually can't predict it, and even if the story is predictable, there's still going to be so much heart in the film that I'm so looking forward to this film.
Yeah, then we got Annihilation. Now this is an interesting film. This directed by Alex Garland, who made the fantastic Ex Machina. If you've seen that one, Natalie Portman, Tessa Thompson, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I've seen the trailer for this. Yeah, there's like this sort of blobby thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's based on a novel, though, isn't it?
Indeed,
I don't know the book, but I might have to read it.
But the interesting thing about this one is the fact that it's getting a cinema release in America in February, and then 2 weeks later, everywhere else in the world, it's coming out on Netflix.
So it's a Netflix movie, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can only see it if you got Netflix.
But it's a real interesting thing. It's kind of like a new thing that's kind of happening to cinema, you know. So we'll get a cinema release out in America, 2 weeks later, out on Netflix, which I would have happily have watched this at the cinema.
Yeah.
Disappointed that I won't be able to watch it at the cinema. All right, I'll have no one kicking the back of my seat and talking and rustling their popcorn. But it looks like a great film.
That's all the cinematic. Yeah, because I would have thought it would be quite a cinematic film because all the effect. Now, I've only seen the trailer, but you've got like this little blobby this thing that they have to go and explore, don't they? And then they find all sorts of... And you think, that would be cinematic.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, you'd want to see it in the cinema.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Mm. Disappointing, really.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's Alex Garland, and he's always a lot more about the ideas than he is... I feel like with him, more than most, the effects are just there to support the story. So I think it would still work
more intimate
sense. Yeah, I mean, Netflix is getting scarily powerful. It's getting scarily powerful, but so I think it would still work on a small screen, but I think it's more just the power of Netflix that's beginning to freak me out a little bit. All right, we're going to have some ad break. We're going to have an ad break, and we'll be back now to continue with our preview of 2018.
Music variety.
Music variety.
That blows your mind. Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
And we are back on the Movie Review Show. We have about 10 minutes left, and we are going to continue going through the preview of 2018, brought to you by Peter Jenkins. And then after that, at 7 o'clock, we're going to have Brian Curtis coming in with the Eclectic Mix. But here is Mr. Jenkins.
Right, let's run into March now. We've got Red Sparrow, which kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, which Jennifer Lawrence, Joel Edgerton, a couple of really, really great actors. Look, the trailer looked a little bit like, if you remember, The Recruit.
Oh, yeah.
Al Pacino. But it looks like The Recruit, but a bit sexier. Mm. You know, a little bit more sex sort of thrown into it, and sort of Russian and stuff. So
yeah, she's like this sort of... like Russian spy, but she uses all of her powers.
Sort of femme fatale sort of thing. Yeah.
I was getting vibes of, like, you know, The Recruit mixed with, if you remember the Angelina Jolie movie Salt. I don't know about this, to be honest with you.
And a bit. No, I know. I mean, did you see it? Anyone see Atomic Blonde?
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah,
loved
it. I've got a feeling it's probably going to be. Yeah.
There was a film out in the. I'm trying to think. It's probably in the 90s, with the lady who played Sarah Connor in the Terminator films,
Linda Hamilton,
and I think it's called something like Sexpionage. It was that.
Oh god, nice one.
That's almost as bad as Sharknado.
Yeah, but it was basically her sort of being recruited as a teenager and then sort of trained in the arts, the feminine wiles, and to sort of extract secrets from. Like a modern day Mat Hari, really. So I wasn't sure. It reminded me a little bit of that. Yeah.
I think it might be one of those
wiles films
that might be good, you know? So I'm intrigued.
Potential.
I'm intrigued by it. So it's got the potential there.
Yeah. But I was going to say, this is March. What? No? 50 Shades Freed?
No.
Is that out? You're out in March?
That's out in February.
All right. Oh, you're looking forward to
that. Well, not particularly, but my friend always... but I end up seeing them nonetheless. It's one of those like, no, how do I get... Why am I here? How did I get here? But I used to...
So then we got 7 Days in Entebbe, which looks really, really great. It's directed by Jose Padilla, who probably most people know from the RoboCop reboot. But if you really know him, Elite Squad 1 and 2, a couple of Brazilian films, are fantastic.
And didn't he do Piranha?
Piranha?
Yeah.
No.
3D. Piranha 3D.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
No.
I want to check that out.
Check it out. Obviously, based on the, Entebbe and everything, the hijacking of the plane. Obviously, everyone really... I really love the original film, Raid on Entebbe, from 1976.
There were two Entebbe films, weren't there? They came at the same time.
I love the one with...
Raid and Escape.
Yeah. Escape from Entebbe, I like the one with Charles Bronson, Yaphet Kotto, Zidi Amin. It's a great film. So really looking forward to it and hope it's kind of like nice and gritty and, you know, really good. Then we've got Pacific Rim Uprising. Now, I really love the original Pacific Rim. Obviously,
Rim.
Del Toro.
No problem with that.
Yeah, you know. Fantastic. Obviously, this looks like more robots, more monsters, robots punching monsters, robots punching robots.
It looks like it's a lot younger cast, is it?
Yeah, indeed. John Boyega and that. So it looks decent. Looks like it'd be pretty interesting.
Is Gypsy Danger in it?
Gypsy Danger looks like there's two Gypsy Dangers in it, it could be interesting.
Now, what was the name? I never remember the name of the Russian one in the original.
I can't remember that.
Probably something with red in the title.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, we were talking earlier about Spielberg. Ready Player One is also out in March.
This
hugely popular book, and it was a bestseller for a long time in the sci-fi charts.
I think the trailer for this is fabulous. It looks such a good movie.
Yeah, loads of Ready homages in there, sort of Back to the Future, Iron Giant and
good.
Stuff.
It looks so visual. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, now, I'm feeling a little bit like the Grinch here.
Okay.
I feel a little bit like a Grinch because I felt like the trailer of Ready Player One was it seemed like it was an overload of effects and I didn't get much heart from it.
Right.
And but the thing is also because the guy Ty Sheridan who plays the main character, I don't get him. I think it's like I know a lot of people. It's a bit like, you know how we spoke about Valerian last year, and how you had Dane DeHaan who just
didn't cut the mustard
at that kind of leading character. And I'm not sure when I look at Ty Sheridan, I'm not sure that he fits this role or anything like that. And I just don't get much. Like, there's no sort of I'm like, oh yeah, maybe that's a pop culture reference. Oh, you got a DeLorean. Oh yeah, you got the Iron Giant in there. But I don't know. There's just something that's a little bit missing. So I don't know about this. And also, I missed out when you spoke about Entebbe. I'm going to raise my whole depiction of Africa on film again. I'm going to raise that hat because this is one of my bugbears in cinema. The way Africa is depicted and African countries are depicted, that is my one worry with Entebbe. It looks like it could be a great, suspenseful movie, but I am just sort of like, I'm essentially going to be sitting down there in a huff, just ready to rip it out of that film. If the African characters end up just being like, you know, fodder to be shot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If that happens, I'm going to be like in a huff. And I hope I'm going to be pleasantly surprised, and it's going to be a good thriller and also have, like, you know, some good representation. But anyway.
Right. Running into April, we've got Avengers Infinity War, yeah, which you're talking about. Yes! Basically, it's got everyone in it. Just everyone's in it.
We don't have to talk about it too much, do we?
So it's got everyone in it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great.
All I'm going to say is, as far as I was concerned, that was the trailer of 2017.
That trailer was the trailer of 2017. It was, and they do it so well, don't they, Marvel?
They just teased enough.
It was perfect, you know, with the great.
Looking forward to that. And then we got Solo, a Star Wars story coming out in May. Now, a word on the street is that because of one of the actors in this, they fired both directors. They hired Ron Howard and reshot 80% of this film because it was maybe too funny or anything. Now, is there anything to do with you, Tozen?
I am not allowed to say anything because of a non-disclosure agreement that I signed when I was on... No, sorry, nothing. Said too much.
But no, obviously the big story about this is obviously Phil Lord, Chris Miller were both fired from the film after pretty much finishing the film. And then they hired Ron Howard to actually reshoot it and ended up, from what I gather, shooting like 80% of the movie. Will it be good? Don't know. Who knows? You know, it's happened before.
People are going to pillory me for this, but Han Solo has never been my favourite character. I never really liked him as a character.
You always were a Boba Fett fan.
Well, not so much Boba Fett.
But it's got a good cast. You've got Emilia Clarke, Donald Glover, Alden Ehrenreich. It's got potential to be really good, I think.
What did you think of the Star Wars movie?
I thought it was great. Yeah. Last Jedi, I thought it was fantastic. Okay. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So I think all the hassle about it and everything is unfounded, I think. So
okay, we'll have you. Please mail your pitchforks and your fires and sticks. No, not to Vectis Radio. Find Peter Jenkins and like, you know, if you're those sort of people, mail that to him.
Hunt me down. I'll happily discuss it with you. Then in May also, we got Deadpool 2. Now, Deadpool 1 came out of nowhere. It's a fantastic movie. It's nasty, horrible, sweary. I think this will probably, by the sounds of things, be exactly the same. Directed by the guy that did Atomic Blonde. So also, you know, the action's going to be pretty fantastic as well. So really looking forward to that.
I think it'll be like the John Wick movie, wasn't it? You had the original John Wick movie and then John Wick 2, which was just basically...
The same, just turned up a little bit, wasn't it? Exactly.
Should be interesting, this movie. It'll be fun, I think.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Reynolds gives me hope for this. Ryan Reynolds gives me hope that it's not going to fall into sequelitis.
Mm. Yeah.
Hopefully they've nailed the script. I think that's probably more important because, well, I like Ryan Reynolds, but he's not very, you know, he chooses some bad scripts, I think, to make. He hasn't been, you go through his internet movie database, there's not a lot of good movies on there for him, which is unfortunate because I think he's a very watchable guy.
Okay, cool. We've got like 2 minutes. What else we got?
Cool. Right. Go to the last couple. We've got Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom. What's to say?
That's good, you know,
it's going to be
looking
dinosaurs
forward to that.
Yeah, loads about, of dinosaurs screaming. Running, shouting, screaming. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, the trailer gives me hope for this one.
Yeah, that's going to be good. And then probably one of the most films that I'm looking forward to this year is Sicario 2, Soldado.
Yeah, the first one was great.
First one is absolutely fantastic. Obviously, they haven't got the same director this time, Denis Villeneuve, who went on to play Blade Runner 2049. But you still keep in Josh Brolin and Benicio Del Toro, and they're the same characters as well. And it looks like it's a prequel to Sicario, but it's got the same writer as well, Tyler Sheridan. If you haven't seen Wind River, go out and see that because that's a fantastic little movie. So that's going to be really good. And one more film we've got is Dragged Across Concrete, which hasn't actually got a release date yet, but I'm told it's going to be out in the beginning of this year, March, April time. Directed by S. Craig Zahler, who made the fantastic Bone Tomahawk, which was very... Hostiles was brutal. Bone Tomahawk raises that.
Bone Tomahawk.
Exactly. And Mel Gibson, Vince Vaughn, I'm really looking forward to that. So, going to be a great film.
I don't think Vince Vaughn can play straight roles.
Oh, you should see, what's it called?
Brawl in Cell Block 99. Watch that and then tell me whether he can play straight or not, damn, that's crazy film.
And that sounds like, it sounds like a 70s right up your alley kind of film.
What's it called again?
Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Brawl in Cell Block 99.
It didn't get much of a wide release. But anyway, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Pete, for being here. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for listening. And get thee to a cinema. Get thee to a multiplex. Get thee to a place with a puppet show.
Well, I'll see you at the cinema, but hopefully not with your pitchforks.
Yeah, and enjoy it. And we will see you guys next week when we'll continue with second part two of the preview of 2018.